The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Glorious God, your generosity waters the world with goodness, and you cover creation with abundance. Awaken us in a hunger for the food that satisfies both body and spirit, and with this food fill all the starving world. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Jesus loves the little children,
all the children of the world. Let them know the black and white they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world.
The first reading from Isaiah. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you that have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourself in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant. My steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. See, you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that do not know you shall run to you, because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 145 responsively. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love.
Lord, you are good to all, and your compassion is over all your works.
The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up those who are bowed down.
The eyes of all should be upon you, O Lord, and you give them their food in due season.
You open wide your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing.
You are righteous in all your ways, and loving in all your works.
You are near to all who call upon you, to all who call upon you faithfully.
You fulfill the desire of those who fear you. You hear their cry and save them.
You watch over all those who love you, but all the wicked you shall destroy.
My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord. Let all faith bless God's holy name.
And to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, shall it be forever. Amen.
A reading from Romans. I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it by the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my own people, my kindred according to the flesh. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs. And from them, according to the flesh, comes the Messiah, who is over all. God blessed forever. Amen. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 14th chapter. Now when Jesus heard about the beheading of John the Baptist, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. When the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd.
and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away, so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. He looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves. And he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds, and all ate and were filled. And they took what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. The Gospel of the Lord. When we listen to this gospel message today, we shouldn't let our ears rush to the miracle of Jesus. It's easy to pass over why Jesus went out into the desert to be alone. See, our gospel text today says in this parenthetical sentence that Jesus heard about John's death. So naturally, he needed some time alone. Jesus had heard that his cousin, his friend, John the Baptist, had died. And it wasn't from natural causes. Jesus, he went into the desert. John the Baptist died because King Herod had a party. He died because there was a banquet of the elite. These people had power over life and death, and they were there to have a good time with food and wine. It was a game to Herod, who, wanting to show his power and his extravagance, said that he would give this girl Salome anything because she danced. He could deliver almost anything to her. Think about it. You want gold? You can have gold. You want perfume? Done. "I'll give you even half my kingdom," he says in another gospel. He had the power and the resources. He had the money and the control. But she didn't ask for power. She didn't ask for wealth. She asked for the head of a man who had called out her mother's relationship with Herod. It was an unlawful relationship. See, Herod married his brother's wife. And that's not really kosher. That is meant to make you smile on that one. And because the girl asked for John's head, Herod gave it to her. And then they continued on with the banquet. Vengeance is what she wanted. And nothing less would settle than his head. See, this party is interesting because it's characteristic of worldly powers. The powers that rely on the resources of this world, the prestige that only leads to darkness and self-reliance. See, when Luther wrote his small catechisms, he put the Ten Commandments at the very beginning. Because the first commandment, we read, is that you shall have no other gods. Luther knew that self-reliance leads to idolatry. When you have everything, it's easy to forget about God. It's easy to forget your dependence on God. And so we see that Herod has all the resources to do possibly great things. He had the potential, because of his position, to be a great leader. And how does he use this power?
He throws a party, and he plays God, giving to a girl someone's head because she shook her hips a little bit. So naturally, you're dealt a blow like this. Naturally, when you encounter the powers of the powerful, it's a little hard to process. You need to think about it for a while. How are you going to respond to this? When Jesus heard about John's death, he wanted to be alone. And what better place to go than a desert? The desert is a good place to mourn. No one can hear you there. It's a good place to hear from God. Elijah went to a mountaintop in the desert to hear from God. If you really want to know who you are, spend some time in the desert. There's no secrets hid. There's nowhere to hide. It's just you, your thoughts, and your God. There are no resources in the desert. Everything you have is a gift. And that's definitely the opposite of the party Herod threw. Herod had all the resources. I guess you really just find out who you are in this desert. But I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. See, the nation of Israel spent 40 years in the desert. They had been slaves. They didn't know how to be anything else but slaves. It was in the desert that they found out who they were. They learned how to be God's people. They were fed by God, given water by God, and they were taught all by God. And this was in the desert. Daniel Erlander, in this Bible study we're going through, calls it the wilderness school. Other parts of the Bible call the desert testing, the place of testing. The nation of Israel was tested in the desert. Jesus was tested in the desert. He was tempted by the devil. It was there that he was challenged by the devil to rely on himself. Three times he repelled him, not even turning rocks into bread for his own hunger. Now, when I say desert, I'm talking about a location, but it's also symbolic. It's symbolic for an inner disposition. There are times when you hear some bad news, and it feels like you're entering into a desert. It's dry there. They don't feel like they have resources. It's lifeless. St. John of the Cross called this the dark night of the soul. One person wrote, "There's a physical desert inhabited by a few exceptional men and women who are called to live there. But more importantly, there's an inner desert into which each one of us must one day venture. It's a void, an empty space for solitude and testing." You find out who you really are. When you feel like there's no life around you, that's the desert. When you feel like it could be Monday or Friday, and it doesn't really matter which, it's the desert. The desert is a condition you feel when someone close to you has died, and that air is just sucked out of you. When you stare at a wall because you can't think of anything else to do. So Jesus goes into a desert because his friend had just died. And he goes, and people, they follow him. See, they can't get enough of this Jesus. They can't let him be alone because they want to receive everything that Jesus has to give. They didn't want to miss an opportunity to be with this remarkable man. They were following Jesus wherever he went, even to the desert. But it got late. The disciples knew where they were. "There's nothing else here, Jesus. Tell the people to go away. There's no food here. There's no resources here. There's not enough food to to feed all these people. Being in a desert is testing. It seems like it tested the disciples. The people soon became a problem, and the disciples wanted them gone. You find out who you really are. You get dehydrated in the desert. When you feel like God is a million miles away, when we go to those dark places and easily forget God's love, the disciples started to experience the desert for themselves, and they discovered that they didn't have the resources to help. But Jesus, he had compassion on them. He healed their sick. Jesus was in the desert, and he had all the resources that he needed. Jesus knew that desert experience, and he didn't forget the power of God. Jesus didn't respond like the disciples. In fact, his response was totally different. He says to them, "You feed them. We just got a couple of fish, few loaves. This isn't going to work." But Jesus took the bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to them. And he gave it to them. And everybody was fed. In that desert place, all people were fed. See, Herod had all the resources. Herod had all the worldly resources at his disposal, and he used them for worldly gain. Jesus had nothing in the desert, but he had everything. He had the power of God. It was in that desert that God was shown to be great. And that's the thing about the desert. You can have two responses. You can be like the disciples who had that desert mentality overtake them. Or like Jesus, who knew that God was very present in that desert. And all were fed. The banquet that Jesus provides uses minimal resources and does the most good with them. So how's our response in the desert? There's a great line from the Count of Monte Cristo. "Life is a storm, my young friend. You will bask in the sunlight one moment, be shattered by the rocks on the next. What makes you a man or woman is what you do when the storm comes." It's in the desert that you think there's nothing. Desolation, heat, darkness, emptiness. But it's there in those dark recesses that God is showing to be the most powerful. Don't be surprised in your life, in those places that you think God is the most absent, is the place where God uses to show God's power. Don't be surprised if those dark places that you enter, where you're sure that God isn't present, is the same place that God uses for the most good. Just receive that grace again. Receive again the grace that we so easily forget. After all, it was on this desolate cross, the barrenness that Jesus endured, the emptying of his own life, that brought about the most significant miracle. It was there that the compassion of God flowed out to all who would receive it by faith. It was on the cross, that ultimate desert, that life was created with God. So my hope for you is this. When you enter your own desert, that you meet Jesus there, ready to feed you and everyone else around you. I hope that when you enter those dark places, that you realize that God's resources are close at hand, and from them, abundant life. And let's remember that once again. through the meal that we share today, that God's grace is plentiful and abundant for everybody, even when we're in the desert. Amen.